Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you this morning. What a beautiful Labor Day weekend, yes? Nice weather, getting some final things done, people vacationing, school starting, getting back into the routine. We're doing the same thing as a church. You know, we kind of follow the school year with our ministry year, ramping things up, starting fresh things. It's also a time, before I get into it, let me talk about a new series we're starting, Strong Women, Mighty Men of the Bible. 2 weeks from today, we're going to be starting this series. This is going to be a great study, looking at strong women of the Bible and the character that they had to do the things that God wanted them to do. Mighty men. We're not going to focus necessarily on muscular strength, but mighty in character, strong in character. Let me encourage you, bring a friend. This is going to be a wonderful, like, 6 or 8 week series about just the character it takes to do great things for the Lord and in our world. So I want to encourage you to do that. Thanks so much for last Sunday. The Connection Fair was wonderful. A lot of you stayed, found a place that you could connect in a small group or you could serve in a small group. And so I want to say thank you so much for that. We just had a great time last weekend. So lots of good things kicking off. Women's Bible study, Wednesday Night Live. But the greatest thing that's kicking off this particular week is what? Football. Hey, that's right. Football. And I want you to know I see my Charger socks on here. Okay. I'm right, boo. Yeah, you're probably a Raider fan, you know, and, you know, the Raiders are in our division, so I love the Chargers. I despise the Raiders, but we'll get along. Under the Lord, we can get along just fine. You know, you guys are leaving town and just after next year going to Las Vegas, basically because you're pagans, you know, and so you're just going to Las Vegas. I read the other day that the Raiders are going to lose about half of their fan base when they move to Vegas because their parole officers will not let them go across state lines, you know. So I have been waiting for months to say that right there. I've been for months. No, some good things going on, great things going on. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of year as we kick things off. You know, twice a year, I just like to take a moment, if you'll indulge me this morning, twice a year, I just like to step back from a particular study in the Bible and talk with you about where is God leading our church family? Where is he taking us? What has he done that we can celebrate? Where is he taking us that we can anticipate? And then how would he want us to dedicate ourselves to that task, to what he has for us? And so, if you'll allow me this morning, I do this at the end of every year, before the calendar year, usually either the last Sunday of the year or the first Sunday of the new year. And then I like to refresh it with us as we launch a new ministry year. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about how we can anticipate or how we can celebrate, anticipate, and dedicate. Let's talk about where God has brought us, just in the recent history of our church. You know, we've been taking the last couple of years and doing some wonderful things. And this morning, I want to kind of launch our discussion out of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. If you don't have your Bible, it's up there on the screen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast. Hang in there. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that you're what? Toil. That tells us right there, that word toil. Every time I think of that word toil, I think of moving to Auburn. My parents moved us to Auburn in 1976. It was the day before my eighth grade year at EVK in junior high school. And my dad bought 10 acres because he wanted to start a hog ranch. We came from suburban Sacramento, where all my friends in the Breck Park and the school were right in my neighborhood. And now we moved out to the end of Atwood, where it meets Mount Vernon, and Shanley Road goes up into the hills. And if you take that road up there, you'll find a street called Wilder Sparling Lane, and we bought 10 acres. And it was just dirt. And my dad had this idea about starting a hog ranch, because on my dad's side of the family, we have a long history of butchers and meat cutters. And so we started this hog ranch. Well, my older brother and I, almost every day after school, had to come home and dig a ditch or put a fence up. And I learned all these new skills. And it was toil. It was toil. Toil gives the picture of just hard work. So I appreciate Paul when he says that let's serve the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But it is work. It is work. But you'll notice the end of the verse. It says that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You know, we can spend our time doing a lot of great things that benefit other people and benefit our families. But the greatest thing that we can give to others is a deeper walk with God. And we've got to work together to help other people deepen their walk with God. And we've got to work together so that our walk with God can be deepened. And although it's work, it's profitable work and it's fruitful work and it's worthwhile. So let's talk about this for just a minute this morning. Let's go back to last year, to 2018. 2018, our theme was very simple, lifting up our eyes. It came out of Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. We began to go through a process behind the scenes of trying to re-identify or re-clarify our church's DNA. Who were we? What were we all about? We had a mission statement that lasted for the last 20 years, and we just felt like the Lord was going to try and give us a fresh vision for the future. Not something radically different or radically changed, but a better way to articulate it, a better way to identify it. And so we came up with this idea of Auburn Grace exists to make Jesus famous. And we make Jesus famous by helping people connect, grow, and serve. And so in 2018, we launched a refreshment of our vision statement. And since that time, you've been hearing these words, connect, grow, and serve, over and over again. We help people connect. Connect to God, connect to the faith community, and connect to your neighbors or your friends at school. Grow. We want to grow in the knowledge and in the wisdom of God's truths. And we want to grow in our capacity to hang tough, like he says here, to stay steadfast, immovable, because it's harder to follow Jesus in our culture than it was 50 years ago. And so we want to stay strong and then serve. Other people are here to help me grow. And last week we talked about this word serve. And now I can turn around and also help other people grow. And I can assist and welcome those that are foreign to us so that we can tell Jesus about them. And so in 2018, we launched this whole new idea. Not a new idea, a whole new way to express our vision statement through the words, make Jesus famous by helping people connect, grow, and serve. One of the goals we had in 2018 was to launch a ministry and leadership for young families. We're trying something here at Auburn Grace that might be a little bit unusual. We're trying to develop a multi-generational church family. And we're doing that very purposefully. A lot of churches, and I'm not blaming them or saying that there's bad, but a lot of churches will pick one generation and build their ministry around that person or that generation, and everyone else is invited. We're trying something a little bit different. We believe the Bible teaches us that we can all glean from each other in multiple generations. And where we saw in our congregation is that because Auburn is 55% of our community is 50 plus, our church reflected that. And so we intentionally tried to provide some leadership for the younger families. And what has resulted in that is that there are two life groups, two regular groups that meet for families with small kids. They meet every other week. They meet right here, I think, on campus, one on a Sunday night, one on a Monday night, every other week. And they help young families connect, grow, and serve. We also, in the last couple of years, launched the MOPS program, Mothers of Preschoolers, and now we have regular meetings with preschool moms come on our campus. We launched the preschool again. I don't know if you know, but the preschool is going really well. They had their open house this last weekend. They're opening their doors this week for a new school year. We have a maximum capacity of 20 students here on our campus, and we have 19 registered and ready to show up on Tuesday morning, or tomorrow morning, actually, so it's going to be great. Last Christmas, we altered our Christmas dessert model just a little bit because we saw our Christmas dessert model was reaching the 50-plus group really well, but it wasn't really a multi-generational event. So last year, we tried these Christmas concerts. We tried J.J. Heller, and we had some desserts in the courtyard and come in for a concert, and we saw some mixed reviews on that. And this year, we're altering it again. This year, we have a wonderful group already signed. I saw the contract on my desk when I walked in this morning. Sanctus Real is coming to Auburn, and we're going to have them for our Christmas concerts. And what we're going to do is Friday night have a big family event, the first weekend of December. Saturday night, Sanctus Real is going to put on a huge concert for us right here in this auditorium where you can come and have desserts and come in for a concert. And on Sunday, we're going to go back to our old model. We're going to go back to a matinee with nice tables and desserts. Because people like to invite their friends and have a half an hour of conversation around a nice dessert table. So this year, you get the option of you can come to a concert and rock the house, or you can come to a Christmas dessert matinee on Sunday, enjoy an intimate time with your friends, and enjoy Sanctus Real again is going to be putting on both of those concerts. The other thing that we're doing for Christmas this year is Wednesday Night Live, which starts this week. We've added a Christmas choir like we've had in the past. And last Sunday, we had over 30 people sign up. And so we're going to reignite this Christmas choir. So if you love and your passion is to sing during the Christmas season, now you have a place to do that as well. Again, part of this plan is to be a multi-generational church family. God did some, is doing some great things among our young families. Also, we wanted to provide additional retirement. Again, I'm still in 2018. To the retirement age, we see that there's a bunch of them coming across the street. I don't know if you know this, but right across the street behind those convalescent hospitals is 100 acres, and there's 858 senior living units coming. And they're duplexes, or they're condominiums, or they're apartments. And we want to be right on the front line of reaching those people, helping them connect and grow and serve. And so we brought Pastor John and Carolyn on our staff part-time. He's a retired pastor from our fellowship, and he's been doing a bang-up job getting things going, especially with the loss of poor Hal Wallace. And God's been bringing Pastor John on. Pastor John is, get this, he's the one sponsoring this weekend's event of Grandparenting Matters. That weekend seminar is sponsored by our senior ministry group. We're calling Pastor John our pastor to grandparents, okay? And so we have a grandparenting ministry. Get this, in November, there is an incredible, high-class, award-winning Christian, what do they call it? Christian gospel music band coming here on a Thursday night to play gospel Christian foot stomping gospel Christian music on a Thursday night, and it's all sponsored by our grandparenting. Everybody's invited, but it's sponsored by that. So we want to continue to develop our retirement age folks, because you're going to be part of us, it's part of our community. So we're trying to balance this multi-generational idea. In 2018, we wanted to bring more stability and leadership to our worship team, so God was able to do that. He's also been helping us reignite Grace Park. I don't know if you know about Grace Park. I'll talk about it in a minute, but we own the 6 acres next to us. We have envisioned someday having a gathering spot for our community that they will gather to us, and we can tell them about Jesus. And we want to use a park as a mechanism to do that, so we're going to talk about that. We've been talking about how can we expand and make Jesus famous. Remember, our new motto is make Jesus famous. And we say that because Jesus told us that if we lift him up, if we make him famous, he will draw people to himself. And so we want to create ways to make Jesus famous. And we want to create not only here in Auburn, but we want to create ways in other communities to make Jesus famous. So we've been receiving some coaching as a church leadership team on how to do that. And then we wanted to finish a couple of projects. You know, we did a remodel here, and we didn't finish everything, so we wanted to finish some of those things, and then we wanted to prepare for national conference that came this year. So this is some things that happened in 2018. Most importantly, in 2018, we saw dozens of people either come to Christ, come back to Christ, or go deeper with Christ, right? That's what it's all about. So we finished 2018. As we moved into this year, I was reading through Joshua, and Joshua chapter 6 and verse 7, Joshua said to the people, go forward and march around the city. Now, what city was he talking about in Joshua chapter 6? Jericho, a heavily fortified, incredibly tough city. So the people of Israel had come out of Egypt. Joshua brought them to Jericho, and he said to them, this is a formidable foe, but I want you to get up out of your tents, and I want you to go forward, and I want you to march around the city, because God's going to do some great things. And so we kind of picked this theme for this year. And again, in the first 8 months of this year, we've seen people come to know Christ. We've seen people come back to Jesus. We've seen people go deeper in their walk with God. And we are helping Jesus become known. That's what's most important. But some of the goals that we set for this year were very simple. Let's strengthen some of our ministries. Some of our ministries need to be strengthened. Now that we have these words, connect, grow, and serve, how can we get all of our ministries from infants to adults and seniors to align under these words? How can we make sure that every one of our ministries is aligning with connect, grow, and serve? So we've been working on that behind the scenes. Another thing that we've really been praying about this year, again, is this group of young adults. How can we provide leadership to young adults? God, show us how to do that. Auburn has not done a very good job in the Christian community of the foothills in creating space and opportunities for young adults. I go to the pastors' meetings every month here in town, and all of us as pastors struggle over how in the world can we minister to young adults here in the foothills. And so we've been praying about that. And I want you to know, 3 nights ago, Thursday night in the cafe, we had our first young adult life group. And there were 20 young adults in the cafe trying to learn how to connect, grow, and serve together. So God is answering our prayers about this. This is launching. Brian is one of the leaders of it, and his team has put this together. And what an exciting beginning to an exciting ministry. If you're a young adult here, every Thursday night, 7 o'clock, come to the cafe, have a cup of coffee, and meet friends that can help you connect, grow, and serve. God is helping us to move forward in that particular area. The other thing that we want to do is we're trying hard to create a pathway to increase the number of internships and apprenticeships. We are in great partnership with William Jessup University, and we want people to come to our church to learn how to do ministry. We don't want to just hire people. We want to train people. And so on Wednesday morning of this week, some of our staff are going down to William Jessup because there is a church fair going on there, and they're going to be looking for interns and apprentices to come to Auburn Grace and serve in our worship team and our student ministries in different areas. Why? Because we want to train young people how to serve Jesus within the local church context, because we want to train up leaders for the next generation. That's what we've been asking the Lord to help us do. So that's happening on Wednesday. We also been preparing this year to host 2 big events for our church. One was our national conference that just took place in July. Huge success. 350 people from all over the world came as part of our fellowship, our Charis Fellowship, and they were here. We had a great time together. The second big event that we're still planning is our church's 40th birthday. And that's coming up in November. We've been here for 40 years. So we're in November when we always have our Thanksgiving dinner. You know, if you're new here, every November we have a church combined Thanksgiving dinner. And the theme this year is going to be 40 years of grace. How God has watched over us, how God has been faithful to us. We're going to celebrate what God has done by celebrating our church's 40th birthday. So that's coming up toward the end of the year. We also wanted to complete some facility projects. You know, I talked about the cafe and the kitchen. We have been free up to this point with our kitchen and our cafe to provide meals for people that come here. We have not been able to use our kitchen and cafe to be an extension into the community. But recently, thanks to the help of a lot of people, and the cafe turned out wonderful. Steve and Lisa West just did a fabulous job of decorating and putting it together. Jeff Grady also helped us. And now, guess what? We have earned our county health permit, and we have an approved kitchen and an approved cafe, which means now we can use those as outreaches into the community. That's great, isn't it? Yeah. That's awesome. You know, let's reach people for Jesus. Yes, we got a coffee approved. Oh, wow, man, that is like fabulous. I love it. Woo! So, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but people are on our campus all the time. We host a lot of community events here. Every week, if you come here in the evening, there is a group or two meeting here. I believe that we need to make our facility part of the community. And so we have community events here all the time. And having a health county-approved kitchen and cafe allows us to be more effective. We've envisioned that you can we're going to open the cafe during the week like a business, and people can come here instead of going to Starbucks, and they can have free internet, and they can have good coffee, and they can do stuff here, and we can have people gathering here instead of going to Starbucks, so that we can have this environment to connect with them, to connect with them. You know, also making things beautiful around here, the courtyard, the landscaping. You know, I don't know if you noticed out here between us and Mr. Miyagi, there's a nice planter there now. That was an Eagle Scout project that somebody in our church did for us. We provided the materials and they did all the work just to beautify a little bit. You notice our parking lot's been torn up and being repaired. The Mike in our church has been so gracious in getting his former company to come and to redo it. They're picking up about 3/4 of the tab and donating that to us. And so God has been good. I don't know if you noticed the signs that are going on around here. Just better ways to communicate. We got an estate gift, and that helped us to provide the signs around here. So God is doing some things, again, just to help us connect, grow, and serve. Connect, grow, and serve together. So that's what God has been doing. So that's what we are celebrating. People coming to know Jesus, people coming back to Jesus, people going deeper with Jesus, 2 years of God clearly moving us forward. But if we look from today into the future, what can we anticipate? Where has God taken us? And again, we're not trying to say, God, here's where we want to go. Will you bless our plans? We want to ask the question, God, where are you moving? And help us to jump on board with you. So we've been trying to anticipate, where is God moving and what does he want us to do as part of that? You know, our leadership has been struggling, not in a bad way, struggling to identify this for over a year. God, where are you moving? And help us get on board. And what's come out of those prayer times and discussions is this idea that we're temporarily labeling or initially labeling Vision 2030. Next year is 2020. What would God do in the next decade? You know, this summer, a couple weeks ago, I turned 56, and as I look forward, I think I got about a dozen good years in this position. By the way, thank you for those that emailed me or said thank you. Pastor Dave asked you to do that. Some of you did that. The rest of you, I would just say, you know, may the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits, okay? That's a Jewish curse I picked up a little while ago. But as I look at the next 10 to 12 years, what do we think God could do? If we were doing 1 Corinthians 15:58, just being steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, toiling, because it's work, what could God do? And you know, this idea kept coming. That's just declaring Jesus beyond our limitations. Because we all can't do everything. Some of us have limitations of years. We're getting up there in age and we don't have that many years left. But how could you be used of God to declare Jesus beyond your lifetime? How could I be used by God to prepare in such a way to declare Jesus in our community and to the world, even after I'm gone? Some of us, our limitation is time. We're raising those young kids. We're getting that career going. God isn't expecting us to give hours upon hours upon hours. So my limitation might be time. What can I do to make Jesus famous beyond the limitations of my time? Perhaps I could be a prayer warrior. Perhaps I could be an investor in someone else who has more time than I do so that they can make Jesus famous while I continue with what God wants me to do. We all have limitations. But if we begin to think, you know what could we do to make Jesus famous beyond our limitations, beyond our own life? We have a passion to do something beyond ourselves. The greatest fulfillment, Jesus said, is to love your neighbor as yourself and to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And I believe if we can abound in the work of the Lord in areas that are bigger than just us, we can see God do some great things. So how could God do it, and what would he do? We've been wrestling with this. We've been praying over this. Here's a map of the foothills. And each blue dot represents one of the families in our church. This is where we live. And how can we make Jesus famous within the foothill community in a greater way? You know, if every single church in Auburn, how many churches are in Auburn? Do you know how many churches there are in Auburn? 55. And if every church in Auburn had two Sunday morning services and their sanctuaries were completely packed for both of those services, they would still be reaching only about 10% of the foothill community. There's a lot of people that still need to hear about Jesus. And God has brought us here. This is what we saw last week. God has brought us here because he wants to make him famous. What could we do? What could we do outside the foothill community? Well, as we've been wrestling through this, we've come up with a couple of things. We want to advance some, what I'm calling this morning, declaration projects. Our district in Northern California, our district of churches that we belong to, the Charis Fellowship, our district is helping internationals in San Francisco connect to God. We have a ministry partner, Kevin and Suchu Ong, who do the International Hospitality House in the Haight-Ashbury District of San Francisco. And the last piece of their vision is to plant an international church in the Haight-Ashbury District. And we're jumping on board as a district and wanting to help make that happen. And so our church is going to play a role in that, declaring Jesus beyond our limits, because we are limited in who we can reach. But he can reach someone we can't reach. We can also help people in the foothills to connect with God. There are places around in the foothills that have a couple of churches, but there's so many people that still don't know about the Lord. It's not that we're going to move into different communities to compete with the churches. We're going to move into different communities so that we can make Jesus famous, even more famous than he is. And then we're also going to help equip and send missionary partners. We don't want to just send missionaries. We made a shift a couple of years ago in our church where we're not just going to give money to missionaries to go to the field. We want to do something greater. We want to recruit and train and equip people from our own church to go to the mission field. And we have the Daniels on the mission field as our first project. We can do more of this. So we've been asking, how in the world can we do this? Well, let me just give you a taste of something that we're working on as a leadership team. And right now, we're just giving it a generic name. And it's in the development stages. Remember, this is a goal for 2019. We have 4 more months left. And in the next 4 months, I think the Lord is going to bring some clarity to this. And we're going to announce it and launch it. Because we're going to, in January, announce the vision for the next decade. But it's going to include some of these parts. And I'm calling it to myself 10, 11, 12. 10 projects over 12 years. Here's what I think we can do. I think we can take the next 12 years and divide them into 3-year increments. And I think in the next 3 years, from 2020 to 2023, God's going to help us do 2 things. He's going to help us to recruit, equip, and send missionary number 1 onto the field. Why? Because we're going to make Jesus famous beyond our limitations. We all can't go to the mission field, but certainly we can all recruit and equip and help someone to do that. Second of all, I think we're going to develop the leadership team to start a new church somewhere. And I think it's going to be somewhere in the foothills. And again, not because we're competing with other churches, but because 90% or 80% of the people in the foothills don't go to church anywhere. Someone came up after last service and said, you know, the Sunday morning traffic in Auburn is abysmal. But it's abysmal because there's no one on the road. There should be more people on the road on Sunday morning going to worship our Lord Jesus. And we want to help to make that happen. So in the next 3 years, can we equip, send a missionary to the mission field? Can we help plant a church somewhere in the foothills? I say yes. And then we roll into the next 3 years and we do it again. And then we roll into the next 3 years and we do it again. And then we roll into the next 3 years and we do it again. And in a decade, we will have 8 of our projects accomplished because we will have equipped and sent 4 missionaries onto the field. And we will have trained up the leadership to plant churches somewhere in the world 4 times over. Can we do this? Absolutely, we can do this. And if we could do this in the next decade, can you imagine the fame of Jesus spreading and the number of people that are going to be in heaven because people are telling others about the great saving love of Jesus Christ? At the same time, I think that God wants us to do something here. I believe he wants us to finish our campus build out. If you don't know anything about this, this has been going on for a long period of time. A little over 10 years ago, in fact, about 15 years ago, 14 years ago, God opened a miraculous door for our church, and we were able to purchase the 6 acres that are right up the hill from us, right next to us and right next to Miyagi's gym. And we envision developing a thing called Grace Park, where people in our community will come and gather, and they're going to play soccer, they're going to play baseball, it's going to be kids, families, adults, the seniors that are across the street are going to come over and do the walking path in the prayer garden, and we are going to be proactive about reaching people in our community as they come and enjoy a gathering place in the park, because our community needs more recreational space. If you have kids or if you're involved in the recreational space of Auburn, there is a greater need in our community. So this will be a magnet for families if God will help us do that. So our goal is to see if God will do this in the next 10 years. The next 10 years. You'll also see on the map there Mr. Miyagi's gym, which is next door to us. Mr. Miyagi and I are good friends. We've had a relationship for a long time. He's getting near retirement. I'm praying somehow, some way, we can acquire that building and we can convert it into a gym and we can convert it and the other part of it into nice meeting places so that we can have all kinds of seminars and workshops for free for our community families to come and take, like financing and parenting. In fact, Pastor Greg on our staff here, he's finishing his doctorate degree on biblical counseling because we want to open a community-based biblical counseling center here so that people that are in need of family and personal counseling can come and learn how Jesus can make them whole and well. And we want to do that right here on our campus. So that's part of what God is leading us to do. So if in the next 10 years, God will open the door for us to complete Grace Park. And by the way, we had a meeting just on Wednesday night about Grace Park, and we're doing a topo map, and we're getting some soil samples done so that we can figure out how to do that. We're moving forward with that project. And then we're praying about Mr. Miyagi's gym. So we're doing these things together. Again, helping people connect, grow, and serve. So what does that mean? That means that over the next 10 to 12 years, we could do 4 missionaries, 4 church plants, and 2 major campus build-outs. That's part of the 10-11-12 program. How do we do that? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:58. We just be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I believe the outcome is that there will be more people in genuine relationship with Jesus. And as a result of that, we will have a spiritually healthier people in our community, families, community, and the world. Again, it's not our job to push people to Jesus. Jesus put it this way, you lift Jesus up and he will draw people to himself. So when I lift Jesus up in my life as a father, as a husband, as a man, then people can see Jesus in me and people will be drawn to him because they see him in me. When we lift Jesus up, he will draw people to himself. Can you imagine? 12 years from now, we have 4 more missionaries on the field. We have 4 more churches planted. We have a campus build out that hundreds of people are coming here to take a parenting class or a finance class or come to a Bible study or come to church or to play basketball or soccer as a family. And we will be proactively reaching into them and connecting with them to tell them about Jesus. And the final part is that we want to leave the entire campus debt-free to the next generation. That I'm praying, and that's the number 11, because to do 10 projects in 12 years is going to cost about $11 million. And through community partnerships and grants, and God providing through our people and through people that have the same vision, I believe in the next 12 years, we can say, God be the glory, and we can hand this whole project over to the next generation and not burden them with the debt so we can be debt-free. Can we do all this in 12 years? I think we can. How do we do that? We just dedicate ourselves to following the Lord day by day and trying to ask God, God, how can I abound in your work? And it's going to be at times tough because the word toil is used. But when it is tough, just remember that the result is not vain. That there are going to be men and women and boys and girls who didn't know Jesus that now know Jesus, and their eternity is secure in him, and they have healthier families and healthier relationships, all because you and I dedicated ourselves to not losing heart, but remaining faithful to what God has called us to do. That's the focus of let's go forward with this. So I'm excited about the future. And in a couple of months, as we wrap up 2019 and we launch into 2020, we'll be unpackaging more of this because God is still developing it among us. But I think the next 12 years are going to be some of the most exciting years in the history of Auburn Grace Community Church. Amen? Let's stand together and pray. As the worship team comes out, we're just going to sing a song of dedication. That's the last song that we sang before I came up. Just a great song about, Lord, I'm going to build my life on you and show me how to share your love with those around me. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the celebration of what you have been doing. Lord, we truly believe that only you can accomplish the things that you've accomplished, because it's beyond the scope of a strategy of man. Lord, the way that you've allowed us to connect, grow, and serve in a multi-generational setting has been something that only you could accomplish. We anticipate the future. We're so grateful for it. And Lord, as we dedicate ourselves to you, we just want you to know that as individuals, we build our life upon you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.